for the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Kate Scott. This is The Update. On today's show. Well, after talking NFL draft on Monday, we thought we'd shift gears and discuss one of the wildest draft picks in NBA history.
I just love basketball. I mean, I remember even in the 6th and 7th grade when we have a junior high game, the game might be at 2 o'clock on a Saturday and I'd put my uniform on at 7 o'clock in the morning and dribble around the house.
Yup, that is high schooler Denise Long, who the San Francisco Warriors selected in the 1969 draft and then actually invited her to the Bay to play. The San Francisco Chronicle's Scott Osler joins us to share Denise's story. It's Wednesday, April 15th. Well, Scott, I love this story for so many reasons, but I hadn't heard about it until recently. So when did you first hear about Denise's story?
Well, Kate, 2 years ago, a Warriors PR person called me and said, hey, you'd be interested in this thing? Writing about this woman that the Warriors drafted in 1969. And I had some vague thing back in my mind. In 1969, I just graduated from college. And so I was a sports fan and everything. So I'm sure I read about this. I'm sure it registered somewhere. But I had totally forgotten. And I said, what are you talking about? And so he explained it to me that the Warriors are going to bring this woman out to honor her and want to know if I want to do a story on her when she came out. I said, yeah, it sounds interesting. And so I started doing some research, you know, going on the internet. And it was fascinating. In 1969, that was the year that the number one in the draft was Lou Alcindor, who became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who became the greatest scorer in the history of the NBA. So that was the number one draft pick. The Warriors drafted some guy in the first round named Bob Portman, who was a nobody, never did anything. And in the 13th round, they drafted a high school girl from Iowa. And it was just a freaky, weird thing that made headlines for a couple of days and then sort of went away. And so I did research. It was fascinating. The whole story is fascinating.
Yeah, so let's get into it. So why Denise? Why was Denise, as you mentioned, the high schooler from the Midwest, the young woman that the Warriors chose to select?
Well, it was a publicity gimmick, but it had a purpose. And it was the brainchild of Franklin Muley, who owned the team back then. And he was kind of an eccentric kind of guy. He was kind of an independent off-road thinker. But Denise Long made headlines that year as a high school player because she played in Iowa, which played six-man, six-woman, whatever you want to call it, basketball, which is that each team is six players on the court at one time. So there's 12 players on the court at one time, three on offense for each team and three on defense, and nobody crosses midcourt. So if you're a forward, you play only on offense. And if you're a defender, you play only on defense. Back in the day, women weren't strong enough to play real sports. You know,
yeah.
They weren't strong enough to run a mile in track or certainly not a marathon. And, you know, we had these crazy beliefs about what they could and couldn't do. So we figured they couldn't run a full court in basketball. So we made them play this kind of modified half court. But
wow.
In Iowa, especially in the Midwest, this six-person version of basketball was wildly popular. And in Iowa, they get the girls' state tournament and they would pack these 15,000-seat arenas and they would draw TV crowds of like 3.5 million people
oh,
to watch these championship games, and they were fantastically popular. And as you can imagine, there were some pretty good athletes. And this Denise Long from a really tiny, tiny small town in Iowa was a superstar scorer, and she scored 111 points in one game. And two other games, she scored over 100 points.
In a February 1969 issue of Sports Illustrated, Denise Long is described like a Grant Wood portrait until she moves. Then she's all swiftness and grace.
So she became this sort of instant celebrity and grabbing headlines. So Franklin Muley, out here on the West Coast, noticed this, and he had this idea in his mind that maybe women could play basketball at a pro level. Maybe there could be a pro women's league. And, you know, this is pretty radical thinking back in 1969.
Yeah.
He hatched this plan. I'm going to draft this Denise Long, even though women don't play in the NBA, and you can't draft high school kids anyway, because back then, in order to draft anybody, they had to be 4 years out of high school. So he drafted her. The draft was automatically nullified by the league commissioner. But here's what Franklin did. He brought Denise out to San Francisco. The Warriors played in San Francisco then. He brought her out here, and he formed a four-team women's league. He recruited players from some around the area, but some, he went down to Texas. He went to other places. So So he recruited four teams worth of women for one season. They played before every Warriors home game. Two of the teams would play a game.
We got to play a whole game before the Warriors played, and then we played an exhibition quarter at halftime. So we got to get the public kind of confronted with women's basketball, and so they get to know what it was like and how enthused we were, how serious we were about it. But you see, you only had the people that really love basketball trying to sign up for it. So the league is pretty strong.
He actually had, as far as I know, the first women's post-college basketball league, Franklin Mealing did. So he was a real pioneer. And Denise was the centerpiece of this.
So even though the draft pick was initially for publicity and for selfish reasons, it sounds like Denise had a great time out here in San Francisco. So she was playing ball. What was the rest of her time like out here in the Bay?
Denise is a trip, man. She came out here 2 years ago, and we set up an interview. We said, okay, I'll meet you at the hotel you're staying in. They put her up in the W Hotel in San Francisco, the Warriors did. And, you know, it was a very nice hotel, right? And so I walk in. I don't know what she looks like or anything, but she stands up. And so I know it's her because I've seen pictures. She doesn't fit in with the hipster crowd. I was thinking a way to describe her. And I've been around her a little bit and talked to her a little bit and gotten to know her. And she's perfectly comfortable with being out of place. She's just not super sophisticated. She's super intelligent. She's got like 3 college degrees and all that stuff, but she's just not super sophisticated. She was telling me about when she came out here. Her high school class, her graduating class had like 32 members, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Super small.
Tiny, yeah.
Super small high school. Yeah. And so imagine that in 1969, coming out here from Iowa, this small town.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I had a stoplight. And coming to San Francisco, my sense from talking to her is that she fit in beautifully and was totally out of place. Franklin Muley, who was this very colorful guy, I never met him, but he was a super colorful guy. He treated her like a daughter.
He likes to know all the players on a first name basis. In fact, he prides himself on being able to do that. He prides himself on listening to the players' problems and being able to help his family. The basketball team is part of his family.
He found a place for her to live. Franklin had a female accountant. The accountant put up Denise in her house. He enrolled Denise at the University of San Francisco so she could go to class during the day. He leased her a purple Jaguar so she could tool around town.
Oh, that's great.
She just remembers it as being a great time and being wonderful. She got to play real basketball or, you know, full court, regular basketball.
First 5-on-5 experience, yeah.
And she just dug it. She had a great time, and apparently it was an interesting year.
That is so cool. What did she do after her 1 year of, quote-unquote, NBA experience came to an end?
This to me is where it gets kind of sad, although Denise doesn't portray it as a sad, regretful thing. But, you know, she was, talk about being in the wrong place and the wrong time and everything. She was a phenomenal athlete by all accounts. She was 5'11 and a half, I think, very graceful, just had amazing basketball talents, which she had developed. But obviously there were some natural gifts there, but she had worked like crazy to develop them. And so after high school, she's a superstar. And there's nowhere to go. You could play college ball back then, but it was mostly non-scholarship, and it wasn't even sponsored by the NCAA. It was just college basketball for women back then was sort of almost like a recreational. And so there was no real career there, and there was no Olympics. The Olympics for women didn't come around until 1976. So it was like you might as well graduate in archery or something, you know. There was no career. So she was thrilled. She came out here and played. And then after that, what's that league? Disbanded after that 1 year, she had nowhere to go, nothing to do. She had played in front of 15,000 screaming people. She didn't want to go play at some college where 6 people would show up in the stands. That didn't seem like it would be any fun. And her basketball career was essentially over. After that, went back to her college career, and she got 2 or 3 college degrees, finally wound up with a degree in pharmacology or whatever you call it. She became a pharmacist. And that was her career. She retired, I think, 3 years ago. But so a lifetime farm.
So what's she up to now?
She's retired now. She's living in near Wichita, Kansas, on a big 11-acre spread, kind of like a farm, with her longtime husband, Dan. And they live on 11 acres, and they've got 5 dogs, 5 cats, and a beautiful horse that they take care of. I guess they're real softies for animals. People drop off stray animals on their front porch and stuff. And they're just chilling now in life of retirement. And the only problem is she's got from all the basketball and all that stuff over the years. She's got bad hips. She's got one hip replacement. She was supposed to have another hip replacement last week, but that got put off. So she's hobbling around and waiting to get a new hip. And just, she was enjoying retirement.
Wow. Well, Scott, I just love this story. Thanks for shedding some more light on the story of Denise Long. And hopefully she'll be able to get that hip replacement without too much more weight. And then maybe we can catch up with the two of you again on the other side. Thanks for your time today, Scott. This was great.
Thanks, Kate. I appreciate you digging out this story and enjoying it and appreciating it. Because I think it's not because of my writing. I think it's a really wonderful story. So thank you.
To read Scott's fantastic article on Denise and actually see some clips of the old Iowa high school phenom in action as well, just click the link in the description notes of today's podcast. Don't forget, you can now listen to this podcast through any of your Google devices. Just tell your assistant, play the Update with Kate Scott podcast. As always, if you're enjoying the pod wherever you listen to us, we'd love it if you'd rate, review, and subscribe. For all of us here at the Update, thanks to the Warriors and Iowa PBS for that great sound. Thanks to Scott for stopping by. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Kate Scott. Have a safe few days. We're going to get into why you don't need to worry about all the video games your kids or husbands or wives are playing right now when we talk about the benefits of esports with Bonnie Bernstein on Friday.